This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The stigma of being a girl playing guitar, I was like setting up my guitar and the sound guy comes up to me and was like, "Hey, you know you have to plug your guitar into the amp to get sound out of it?"
Episode 445, Grace Bowers. Yeah, Grace is awesome. Crazy guitar player, only 17 years old. She just like stumbles into Guns N' Roses, which I would think if you're like 14 or however old she was, maybe younger than that, when she stumbled into Guns N' Roses, you would just be like, who are these old ladies? I mean, men, you know? But like, seems a lot older when you talk to her. Follow her on social media. She's so good that she makes it look easy. So I don't know at times that if you're not someone who either plays or knows people that play, you even understand how like elite that she is.
It's like when you watch a marathon runner and it looks like they're running at a normal pace, but they're really going like a 5-minute mile.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or like the Olympics when they're all running super fast. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah, it looks normal.
She's so good. But again, like she's so young. We went to my wife's church and we were watching this husband and wife play. And I was like, oh, this is different. This is way better than even things that we have in our studio. And my wife honestly was like, oh, I don't know the difference. It just is like, sounds like really good to me. I can't really tell the difference in great and super elite because a lot of the really small things they do. And I went up to them. I had to tell them after church. I was like, you guys, it's amazing. It turns out they're both super classically trained. They travel the world. And I was like, man, I knew they were so good. And I just hope people don't take Grace and to see how awesome she is. And it kind of gets lost because she makes it look so easy. But she's the real deal. She just wrapped up recording her debut album with John Osborne from Brothers Osborne. She played on the New Year's Eve special on CBS with Lainey Wilson and with Dolly Parton as part of her pet gala. That was a cool thing. Her band is Grace Bowers and the Hodgepodge, which sometimes I'll just see her go live. And so I hit it and she has that sign. This is Grace Bowers. And they're all around microphones. She's not singing. She just dominates. It reminds me of Santana. Santana didn't sing. Santana would play the songs, even like the 70s, you know, Black Magic Woman. Or later on, you Maria, Maria. Never. Or Rob Thomas.
Smooth.
Smooth. Santana was so elite, he didn't have to sing. That's Grace. Although I think she said she should sing. I told her that. I was like, you can sing. So, and she's also, we talk about it. We invited her to play at the Million Dollar Show with us coming up at the Ryman. Next week?
Tomorrow. In this world.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to come play. People are going to be blown away. Her favorite guitar player is Leslie West of Mountain. You just hear how she learned and why she learned. And it's unlike anybody else that learned because she had no musical influence except that those weird women on the internet, Guns N' Roses. All right, here you go. This is episode 445. Follow her, Grace_Bowers. Here she is, Grace Bowers. Grace, I'm a big fan because, I mean, I guess I just would, I'm a big music guy, so I would just see your videos pop up in my algorithm. And your hair is
physically, like, you just see your hair in a guitar first.
It's hard to miss it.
Yeah, it's yeah. And as someone who has big curly hair too, I just cut mine. But I would be like, oh, look at this. Who? And then, you know, once you click into it a little bit and you find out that you're still a teenager, like, and then, so then I started watching some of your practice sessions when you would just start streaming your practice sessions.
Oh, you watched those? I did. That was a long time
ago. It was, but they were still up in a few places.
Yeah.
And so I was curious about that. You were letting people watch you practice, which I feel like is a pretty vulnerable place to be, because when you're practicing, you're not doing it all. You're not supposed to do it all right. Right. So who had the idea for you just to stream practice?
Well, I started it during COVID.
Yeah.
And I was playing guitar every day because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
Couldn't go outside. And I had, so this was on Reddit, which is kind of a weird place to be, but that's kind of where I got started on social media.
It's a very weird place to be, by the way, because I've been a Redditor, and it's funny and dark and why Reddit though? Why?
Because that's just what I use. I didn't have Instagram at the time. It's what I use to doom scroll.
Oh, and, man, doom scrolling on Reddit. It's
I'm bad on it. I'm bad. But so I was playing guitar every day. And this was when Reddit still had the live streaming option, which they've since gotten rid of. But I was like, well, if I'm doing this every day, like, I should, like, be letting other people see so I can get some followers off of it.
Yeah.
So I didn't change a thing about what I was doing, except I set my phone up right in front of me. And people started watching it, like, a lot of people.
Yeah, and I would see even screenshots, because there are certain websites that have parts of the videos you practicing still.
Yeah.
You have a massive, very passionate fan base of music folks, but all ages, from like 70-year-old dudes to, you know, 12-year-old girls, and everywhere in between, because of what you do, it's so universal. But some of the screenshots I would see, there were like 19,000 people watching you practice.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Some of them would get like a million total viewers.
Really?
Which is wild, because it was just me with a guitar, just like messing around.
Would you look at the amount of viewers while you were practicing, or would you just leave it on and practice and go back and look?
I did. That's funny, because the way it worked is that you would start out with like 20, maybe 100 people, and then all of a sudden it would spike to 20,000. Like, there's no in between. So I'd be playing a song and be at like 100, and then I'd look at the screen and all of a sudden there's 20,000, and I'm like, oh crap, I better play a better song. So I would like switch to whatever song that would keep people's attention.
And are you still in the stage? Because some of my friends are very gifted and they work really hard. Guitar players, both.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very gifted and don't work that hard. Some of them work really hard. They're not that gifted. But I have a few that are both, right? Huh. Like, it's like professional athletes. Like, if you're super genetically blessed and you work really hard, like, that's next level. That's and they don't practice as much anymore, but when they write or they create, that's kind of their practicing, because they've all the fundamentals they've mastered. Now, they're a lot older than you. Do you ever pull the guitar out and just practice, or is your practice in creation now?
No, I definitely still practice, because I still have a lot to practice. I don't think I've mastered anything yet. And I also was not genetically gifted. No offense to my mother sitting over there.
Who's in here, which is funny.
I don't come from a musical family, and lots of people call me a prodigy. But I'm like, I worked for this for like 7 years. Like, I've been practicing
that face
whole time.
You just gave me. I get so different, but I just felt you in that face, because people will be like, hey, you're talented. I'm like, I'm not that talented. I work really freaking hard.
Yeah.
And I almost get insulted when people say, you're so talented. And I know they're trying to say something nice to me.
Yeah.
And the person who kind of made me feel normal-ish about was, there's an artist named Breland.
Mm-hmm.
And Breland was like, hey, when people say that to you, like, they mean well. Like, you may not take it as well, because I'm like, I feel like I have very little talent. But I feel like I've spent a lot of time working, grinding, being tenacious.
Mm-hmm.
And when you made that face, when you said some people call me a prodigy, like, I felt that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm imagining you just lock yourself in a room and you just play. And because a lot of your learning too is from YouTube and self-taught, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's nobody there really, if you're self-taught or YouTube, to go, that's not how. You just have to see it and figure it out based on what's showing you. Did you have a favorite YouTube teacher? Or anybody that you would see play that you learn the most from on YouTube? Maybe that's not a direct teacher.
I watched, in terms of teachers, I watched a lot of Marty Schwartz, who I actually just did a video with. So,
was it cool to do that with him?
Yeah, it's kind of like a full circle moment. Like, hey, you taught me the pentatonic scale.
Yeah.
And we're making a video together.
And so how long into your guitar playing did you learn the pentatonic scale? Some of the classically trained people I know learned it very early, but some who just like had a guitar and lived somewhere where there wasn't a lot of resources, they didn't learn like that until way later.
You know, I literally did not know that until probably 3 years ago.
Really?
Which is crazy. I've been playing for seven, almost 8 years. And for 4 years, no one told me, hey, you should be doing something other than like learning songs note for note.
Why, like,
that's all I did.
Why did you decide to, because when you're learning songs, it's cool, but you're memorizing songs, right?
Yeah.
But when you actually learn why certain things, in the mathematical formulas and scale, like, then you can almost predict. Mm-hmm. It's very math-based, or at least for me, it's very number, and I don't play like you in any way. I play guitar and play comedy, but for me, that is, since I know, you know, fret, fingers, you know, you're just,
yeah.
Why did you decide to learn that way if you were already doing well playing songs?
Well, because playing songs is boring. Playing what other people Even have to you, already done.
When people are celebrating you and you're, people are like, look at Greg, she's awesome.
I mean, well, okay, it's one thing to play like a cover song. It's another thing to play someone's solo note for note. And that's what I was doing. Like, I could play Appetite for Destruction note for note all the way down. I could play every single song. And
by the way, Guns N' Roses for all you kids out there. Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah. And that's amazing. Like, it was amazing that I could do that. But at the same time, like, I didn't know any of the theory behind it. And now, like, looking back, when I go back to those solos, I'm like, oh, this, like, he's using this scale here. He's using this here. And before that, I was just like, it was mindless. It was just, I had memorized it and I was playing it back. But, like, I didn't know why he was playing this in a certain spot, or I just didn't know anything behind it. And kind of learning all these scales and stuff, not even that I like know a lot of music theory or not, because I don't, but learning even just a little bit does make you go back and realize, like, it unlocks a lot, I would say.
Yeah, and just generally, when I've learned something that's more of a fundamental part of whatever it is, even if it's a comedy, mm-hmm. it makes me realize I don't know near as much as I thought.
Yeah.
And then I feel really dumb. It's almost like starting over. It's like I go from elementary school to junior high. And yeah, I'm better than all the elementary kids now. But now there's all of this that I now have to learn because I didn't even know I didn't know it.
Yeah, right.
Did you experience that a bit whenever you started to learn why and, you know, scales and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still feel that way sometimes.
Do you see colors or anything weird? Like, I was with... John Mayer has done the show before, and I'm a big John Mayer fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would talk about how he assigns it to colors. And his brain works different.
Yeah.
Do you, when you're playing, colors, numbers, anything like that pop into your head?
I think, what's that called where you hear a song and see colors? I think that's actually like a thing that people have.
My wife has synesthesia.
Yeah, that's what it's called. I don't have that, but I do associate music with artwork, especially like I just had this guy make a picture for me, and it was like a picture of me on a stage, and then I had him like draw a bunch of color coming out of my guitar. And like that is something that like I can kind of associate with the kind of music that I play. So
like
it's kind of hard to describe.
Like tone, is tone a color? Like your guitar tone? Like what do you mean a color?
No, tone for me is like more of a feeling rather than
really
a color. Yeah, like I don't know how to describe it.
And it's almost indescribable because it's such an innate part of you.
Yeah.
But to you, when you're chasing a tone, a perfect tone, a good tone, whatever it is that you're trying, that sound represents kind of a feeling or an emotion. Mm-hmm. So I don't have synesthesia. I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to stuff like that. But my wife does, but she numbers and days and months and food, like Thursday's a seven. It's weird how they associate it. She can't explain why, but she's like, Thursday's always a seven, the number seven. And I'm like, but why? She goes, I don't know. And there's a perfect math to her synesthesia and how she sees things. And she can see words. Like if I said, the plane is blue. She can go, the plane is blue, and she can see it. She can spell it backward too because she's looking at the letters. But you guys have something really cool, yourself included, but everybody has it a little bit different. Uh-huh. Yeah. When you said tone is like a feeling, that's exactly what that is. You can't describe a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like, because I saw you work with John Osborne, who's like one of my, he's awesome. Did you like Brothers Osborne's music before you got to know him as a player? Or did you, because for me, I kind of knew John before I got into Brothers Osborne, mm-hmm. like knowing them. What was that relationship? And did you know the band before you started working with him?
Yeah, I did. I had actually seen them. They played at Ascend Amphitheater down here, and I went to that show. And I hadn't actually heard John play guitar before that. And
yeah, you're right. It's
not
awesome.
Fair. It's insane.
So do you feel that way about other guitar players?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it weird when they say that about you, though?
Yes.
Why is it weird when they say it about you?
I don't know. It just is.
Do you feel like you deserve them to say it about you?
I feel like if I say yes, I'm going to sound obnoxious.
It's not obnoxious or it's not cocky. I mean, we're talking art here, right? But you're supposed to feel that way about others, but it is always awkward when somebody's like, wow, wow, wow.
Well, I would hope they feel that way about me.
Yeah. And who's come to you and said, Grace, you've like blown my mind at your style of playing?
Honestly, mostly just very nice people I meet who come to my shows.
Like fans?
Yeah.
I mean, like who though that like you, it's a great guitar player that you've been able to meet and they're like, man, that's, you know, what you do, that's special.
Nancy Wilson actually has.
From Heart?
Yeah, from Heart. That's actually cool. Just today she like left me a comment like, oh gosh, I forgot exactly what she said, but she left one that was like, I hail you with like a heart emoji.
How do you know these classic rock artists? Like, where did that exposure come?
I don't know, honestly. I didn't grow up around music. The first time I ever like wanted a guitar was when I was 9 years old and I saw Slash.
Big top hat, the big guitar, yeah.
Les Paul, yeah. That's what made me want to get a guitar.
How did you see Slash, though? You're nine.
I had unrestricted access to YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know how I came across it, but it was the Welcome to the Jungle music video that I watched.
How often do you pull out an acoustic guitar?
Not as often as I should. I do have my friend left a 1965 Gibson 12 string with me that I've been playing every day. So I've been loving that.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Do you feel that your fingers, because there's a difference in playing an acoustic and playing an electric. Mm-hmm. Electric, the note will hold longer, obviously, right?
Yeah, right.
And but playing a 12-string, that's a whole different ballgame when it comes to, like, pressure. Like, my fingers would bleed immediately, and I can't play that. I can't really, there's no difference for me to play two strings or one, so I'll just play one.
Yeah.
Is that different on your hand?
Definitely with finger picking, it's different. Honestly, I feel like it's just something to get used to, and then after a while, you won't even, like, really think about it anymore. But yeah, it is definitely a little bit harder to finger pick on.
You say your parents weren't into music at the level that a lot of kids who grow up and become great musicians are. Did they just have like a favorite band or radio? What did you know about your parents when you were a young kid and the music they liked?
Well, my dad likes what I like to call dad rock, which includes Steve Miller.
Mm.
Oh, crap. Who else?
Do you play any? Like, will you play like... Or you learn like Fly Like an Eagle and you'd be like, Dad,
no.
Dude. No. Oh, okay.
I wouldn't give it to him. No.
So he likes a lot of the 70s and 80s kind of rock? Like, he's like the Motley Crue?
No, or is that something you just got into? No, he wasn't that cool.
Got it.
It was more like a Steve Miller and the Eagles. He likes country too, more current country.
What about your mom?
My mom has good music taste.
What's your favorite band? You have a lot of.
I have a lot.
Why don't you come sit over here with us? Let's do it. Come sit. Just sit over here with us. We'll get you a microphone. It'd be great. Do you care if your mom sits for a few minutes?
For a few minutes, go ahead.
Yeah, just for a few minutes.
A few minutes and she's
gonna
kick.
No, that's okay. I'll kick you out too. That's okay. No, we're all under the understanding that this is only gonna be a few minutes. Yeah, don't fall backward. Whatever you do. Okay, so mom, just lean in there. It'll be 2 minutes. Mike, we're gonna need another mic.
Okay.
Favorite bands growing up.
Oh, growing up?
Yeah, first favorite bands growing up.
These are some good ones.
Billy Idol.
Okay.
Loved when I was younger.
Like,
Bruce Springsteen.
For our
listeners, think about my age.
White Wedding, and then Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce
Springsteen. Born in the USA, obviously.
Lenny Kravitz.
Oh,
all-time
I love
number
Lenny
one.
Kravitz. Yeah.
Number one, still to this day.
Met him for the first time like 3 months ago. Awesome.
Same. He's great. And
yes.
I was dying when she got to meet him. I was like.
What about now?
Now, it's a little bit more diverse, but Black Pumas.
Mm-hmm.
Knew them from
in Austin.
Daniel Ratliff.
Yeah.
Ratliff.
Yeah, yeah. Knew him from Colorado. Like, I've met these people in these random places where they
live.
Yeah,
but I'm kind of all over the place, but not like super hard rock, but I just like good music that you can feel.
When did her interest turn into solely guitar as a hobby? Because, you know, as a kid, I like to do a lot of things. I like to, you know, play ball. Like, when did it turn into, I'm really just going to focus almost all my free time on guitar? What age?
It was really when she got it. I always tell people because we had tried everything else. We tried ballet because that's what I did growing up. Definitely not a fit. We tried gymnastics. She got kicked out. We did karate. She got kicked out. She did softball.
I'm saving all the kicked out questions for you in a minute, Grace, once she's out of here. Yeah.
Softball, hated it. The only one sport that she really liked was flag football, and she was the only girl on the team, played with all the boys. But she also has two younger brothers, so... and then we were like, God, I mean, nothing. You just want your kid to find their passion, uh-huh. right? So nothing was sticking. She asked me to get a guitar, and I'm like, great, let's do it.
And did you think it would come and go? Like everything
else?
Yeah,
I kind of figured.
Like every kid, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of figured. But then once she got it, I mean, the first year was definitely like Grace, you have to practice. Grace, you have to practice. But I feel like once she got the hang of it, it was I very quickly didn't have to ask her to practice anymore.
Two final questions, and we're kicking you out, and you're going back to the manager role.
Kick me out.
Because this gives me some great questions to ask her that she has to follow up on, which is awesome for me. So when she, during the pandemic, is getting this online following, and what are you, 15, 16?
14.
Okay.
13 or 14.
That's... Yeah. There's thousands and thousands of people watching your 13 or 14 year old daughter, right?
Reddit.
Yes. Yeah,
on Reddit, the darkest place.
The dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was there a conversation that you had where you're super supportive, but it's also like there are a lot of weirdos out there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She didn't get an Instagram account till she was, what,
14.
And it was under the condition because she it had to be public. And it was under the condition that it was on my account and I can see it because there's creepers out there.
Sure.
So, yes, it was a little bit scary, but. She was good about coming to me when there was ever somebody creepy, and now it's like there's so many of them. She just knows to block it out and not respond. And
pretty clear-headed, mature kid.
Yes.
I don't know her. I feel that way too.
Yeah.
Like it's an old soul type thing, more
Everybody
than just the music
that.
She plays.
Yeah, it is.
Just
it
like
is.
The eye contact, just how she's manages herself. Last question, and then we're gonna kick her out like you were kicked out of karate. Yes. Were you ever like? That's enough guitar. Where she was so consumed with it.
No, still not.
She
no,
found
it's
something
always
she
been
loved.
Like, found something she loved. We've encouraged it, you know. Like when she was younger, take her to live shows because every time you go to a live show, you come home with new inspiration, right? So no, we have always been like I've always been all in whatever it is, finding teachers, driving her places.
That's awesome. Okay, you have to go back to your chair
Bye.
Now. I'm sorry. Listen.
Thank you.
Hey, why were you getting kicked out of play? I heard a rumor you got kicked out of some stuff. So. What was the reason that you would be removed from a structured organization?
Because I was a little asshole when I
were
was
you like were you super competitive or were you?
No, I was mean and not well behaved.
And what were you acting out because you didn't want to do it? Were you it's not a competitiveness. Why do you think you were mean?
Well, when I was really little. In like kindergarten, I had an obsession with tigers, specifically white tigers, and I would tell everyone that I was a tiger, and I would go so far as to growl and like scratch kids. And when you're trying to play soccer,
yeah, it didn't work.
That doesn't really work.
Yeah, tiger
out.
Cosplay doesn't really go with.
No.
I felt that. Do you ever feel like, oh, all right, that's too much guitar? I need to do something else. Just so you can have a bit of fresh perspective, or is it all when you have free time? You're just going to town on it.
There definitely have been some times where I've like been in a rut where I like pick up a guitar and I'm like, I feel like I'm playing the same stuff over and over again. So then I'll probably like.
Do you burn out?
No, I've not yet. I haven't experienced that yet, but I will take maybe a day. Like I won't touch a guitar.
Purposefully.
Yeah.
Just to almost cleanse the palate.
Yeah, which I don't do very often, but if I do it for like longer than 3 days and I go back and I just feel rusty, so I limit myself to only 1 day and then I'll go back to it.
So back to John Osborne for a second, who you guys work together on your music, right?
Yeah, on a record.
When you're working with John, because John is such a great player, has such a great ear, is so proficient. He plays 4-minute solos on record versions of things. You know, he's so good. He's also such a good dude who values mental health. And if I were your mom, I'd be like, John Osborne is like the guy you want to be around as an influence. Mm-hmm. But when you're with him, like, what did you want your sound to be? Because there's a difference in being influenced by things. And like you said, playing things you memorize. What did you want your sound to be?
Well, I came into him and I'm like, think like Funkadelic, Sly and the Family Stone, and the Meters. I want you to mash those all together. I want that. And the songs that we all wrote were kind of that style too, kind of like funk, soul, classic rock. And he totally understood. And I've been getting mixes all week. And
oh, really? That's
exciting.
I could
not be happier with that.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so when you say funk, soul, classic rock.
Mm-hmm.
And you say Sly and the Family Stone. I think of Sly and the Family Stone, a whole lot of people on a stage, all of them being really good individually.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could pull any of them off and they would be just so proficient at keys or drums or just different percussion, right? But that is quite the achievement to want to be like that and then feel like, hey, we kind of accomplished where it's heavily influenced by Sly. Mm-hmm. But it's also so 70s.
Yeah, very.
And visual, it's kind of your visual vibe too a bit.
Yeah.
Any chance you're like an old dude who died in the 70s and came back to life as like a kid and like they like put you in the wrong body? Because when you said Sly and the Family Stone, like even now your vibe now is that. Has that always been like the fashion, the era that you liked and felt most comfortable?
No, actually. Well, when I heard Slash for the first time, that got me really into hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 or 4 years, it was only hair metal. It was like Warrant, Rat, Motley Crue, like the cheesiest stuff you can imagine. I loved it. And so that's what I listened to.
Why'd you love it so much, do you think?
Honestly, because I still love it. I will still go back and listen to it sometimes. As like, I'm not going to say it's a guilty pleasure because I like it and I'm not guilty about it. But it was kind of all I knew at the time. Like, I wasn't around, like, different kinds of music to, like, I wasn't exposed to it. Like, I moved out here and I heard bluegrass for the first time and I had no idea that was even, like, a thing. So.
And when you moved here, you were already playing guitar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but when you hear bluegrass and it's, bluegrass is, it's very quick.
Very, yeah.
Mandolin, I mean, it's, and you as a musician, even at a young age, some people may go, oh, you heard bluegrass, nah, nah, nah. But bluegrass is really complicated.
Oh, it's insane. I can't play a lick of bluegrass.
When you would hear bluegrass, would that inspire you to try to get better in a certain way? Or was it like, man, I don't know. How did bluegrass influence you? Because it's so hard.
Well, there is a banjo sitting in my room because I thought I was going to learn how to play the banjo after seeing a bluegrass show at the station. And didn't really work out.
You get the fake one, the banjo. Six stringer. Yeah.
That's probably what I should have gotten instead.
Yeah. Some of my friends play that and they're like, look, I'll play the banjo. And I'm like, wow. And they're like, not really. It's six strings. It's just it's a fake banjo. Do you get a lot of people sending you free guitars now?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine
too many guitars at this point.
Yeah, I would imagine. Everybody wants you to play their guitar on social media or something, but then not give you money to actually be the endorser.
Yeah,
they just want to send you the guitars.
I don't know. I feel like I'm okay with that. I'll take free guitars any day.
You'll take them, but you may not get on Instagram and play them.
Correct.
Do you have a favorite? What's your favorite guitar?
My 61 SG.
Now, when you say 61, that's 1961.
Mm-hmm.
How we have an old Bronco that's from before I was born. We've changed out a lot of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
In a 61 SG, and I'm talking about things I don't know now. Is it all except for the strings? Is it original parts for the most part?
On mine it is, yeah. I haven't changed anything about it since I got it. I don't want to. People like people tell me like, oh, it needs a new bridge, it needs to be refretted. I'm like, it still sounds okay. I don't wanna change it.
Do you travel with it?
I do, but I am gonna Gibson is gonna make like they're gonna like scan it and make a replica of it. To bring out to festivals and stuff.
Yeah, something that precious.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah, I don't want to be traveling with it.
Especially
so
if it's been around since the 60s. Right, it's not like a lot of bumping is going to be good
fragile,
for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're flying, I mean, you don't ever check your guitars, right?
Never.
Yeah, you see what they do with luggage, right? Like they're just throwing stuff. So you carry it on. And Southwest is always really good about.
Yeah, Southwest has been good.
Anybody ever broke your guitar? You have a bad experience with traveling?
Not yet. Not yet, not to jinx it, but I do get some dirty looks every now and then.
Could you take up a hole?
When like the flight's like filled up and I come on with a big old guitar.
Do people recognize you if you're just wearing your hair curly more than if you're wearing a hat or you have a pull? It's very, a very distinct look.
Yeah, I mean, I never wear a hat. I think I look goofy in hats. So I do get recognized quite a bit because, again, I think I'm kind of hard to miss.
And do they say, you're Grace, or do some people go, I know you from somewhere. Oh, you're the person that played guitar on my whatever it is. You know, they see it on any former places. Does that ever happen where they just can't quite place you, but they realize you're the girl that plays guitar?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah.
Do you feel like you get a lot of older, and men especially, who are like, ah, you're just a girl.
Yes.
Until you show them what the freak is up?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I just talked to CBS about this, did like a whole segment on like the stigma of being a girl playing guitar. And I told them this story. It happened at Americana Fest down here. And I was like setting up my guitar, and the sound guy comes up to me and was like, "Hey, you know you have to plug your guitar into the amp to get sound out of it?" I'm like,
"See, that's when you challenge him to a duel right then. Get a guitar, wise guy." And then you're a little clunky with the first. You're like, "Meow." And then he's like, "Oh, I got her." And then you just shred him. I bet you there are people's face, like if you're at a festival and they're not familiar with you and you start playing, I bet there's a lot of confusion. Because, again, you're a teenage girl playing traditionally an instrument that older men have played. Mm-hmm. And it's and rock music itself, right now, it's not as if it's the most popular, which is why it makes it so much cooler that you're doing it. It's not the most popular format, mm-hmm. which like hip-hop is massive right now.
Yeah.
So when you see a young female doing something that isn't the trendiest, it's super trendy then. It's super cool. And do you find people are surprised when they're like, "Well, look at that. Oh, wow, she's just a kid."
Yeah. I get a lot of comments like, "You're only 17," or like whatever age I was at the time the video was posted. It happens all the time.
When did you get your driver's license?
A year ago.
You got it when you turned 16?
Yeah, not right when I turned 16. I was a little late, but yeah.
It's weird now because and I have a nephew who's your age, and he didn't even want to get his license. I told him.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. I was like, my generation isn't as motivated.
Well, you may have to get to a gig though. Like, you may have to go to work.
Yeah.
A bit different. And he was like, "Why do I can Uber?" Or I was like, no, I'll buy you a car. I would tell him, like, I said, whatever money you get, I'll go times three. He didn't have any money growing up, so I want to help, like, my nephew and family. And he's like, "Yeah, I appreciate that, but I'm good.
I'll take it."
Exactly. It's like, when I was 16, I couldn't wait to do it. How many nights a week do you play in front of people, regardless of what it is? If it's at a, you know, you're going to you know, a club or a bar, or you're playing a big show, how many nights a week do you think you get in front of people?
Well, for a while I was doing it what felt like almost every night of the week, but I've been trying to kind of scale it back now that I've got my own band and kind of make it a little more special when I do play in Nashville, so I'm not like out every single night. But a lot.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is the Bobbycast.
When, well, before I go out on tour and tell jokes, I will try to find a couple places to go. And sometimes I'll just go to the Bluebird and I won't announce it. And I'll play some comedy stuff just to see if it works.
Yeah.
You know, to do very small shows. And like the big comedians will go and they'll play little clubs and places just to work material. And so, which was leading to that, and you may not do that as much anymore. Do you ever feel like you need to go out and play some stuff? Even if it's for like 11 people at a small place, just to kind of get your bearings back? Or at this point, are you just ready to fire on all cylinders?
Oh, I'm doing that tonight, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And this won't be on. And so what you're doing tonight will already have happened probably a week ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still like post like, hey, I'm going to be here.
You do?
Because I don't like playing the empty rooms, but it is a really small room. So like even if we like pack it out, it's like 100, 150 people max.
What's the energy like for a packed 200 room? Or a middly filled 2,000 person room?
It's I would rather play a small dive bar that is absolutely packed than a large venue that's halfway filled. Like, I'll take the small venue any day.
Because of the energy.
Yeah.
And because of the rabid. If they're in a packed place, there was intention on getting there.
Yeah, right.
What's the last show you've been to?
That I've been to?
As a fan. Where you didn't go, ooh, where they were like, this is Grace. We're like, I'm just going to get tickets. I'm going to get a ticket and go to the show.
What was it?
Oh, now you want your mom. Now all of a sudden, mom, she's calling you back in.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Sure.
Was it Music Cares?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that wasn't really ticketed.
Yeah. Music Cares. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
But did you end up getting up and playing at all at Music Cares?
No, I wish.
Okay. No, but that's good. That's what that's what I'm asking. Like, when did you just go? And they weren't like, great, get up here. Because Music Cares is cool because it's a lot of really good people that they're playing on stage that night.
Oh, yeah. It was
who did you see? Who were you blown away by there?
I mean, Bruce Springsteen got up. That was pretty insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's weird what you appreciate.
Yeah.
I just don't. Even like the younger generation of country artists that are like 24, 25, I feel like that's even lost on them. And the fact that you're not coming from a family that's beating you over the head with vinyl going, you must love Bruce Springsteen, yet you still found it and you're still passionate about it. I'm convinced there's a little old man living in you who died. And he's like pulling the strings and you're like, I am Grace. And you still enjoy just playing the guitar.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do.
Do you get lost sometimes in a good way if you're just up playing where you're just able to remove all thought because that's where you're supposed to be?
Oh yeah. Every single time.
Favorite guitar solo you've ever learned of someone else's?
Ooh.
That when you finished it, you were like, that's cool, I know that one.
Sweet Little Angel by B.B. King. It was like the first blues solo. It was the first like blues song I had ever heard was Sweet Little Angel. And I remember I learned every single lick from it. I've probably forgotten most of them now. But this was back when I still didn't know the pentatonic scale, and I would like play these licks in front of people like to pretend like I did know it.
Did you... I had a phase, a B.B. King phase, where, you know, I started off with I found my thrill, like the, you know, Blueberry Hill and, you know, the thrill is gone.
Yeah.
Did you do that or did you just go into like the B-side stuff where like only the greats get to live? Did you like the singles, the songs that I like too?
I listened to a lot of, honestly, like before B.B. King, like I got into Mississippi John Hurt and like Fred McDowell, Elmore James.
Yeah, now see, you've lost me. You're so cool that it's hard for me to even connect here because I'm like, I listen to a lot of B.B. King, but it was always like B.B. King's greatest hits.
Uh-huh.
Where you're listening to like people that influenced him and even his music that you mentioned, I don't even know. And to me, it's just, how in the world did you get there? Like, what about you? What was in, you know, we're all attracted to different things. Some of us nature, some of us mm-hmm. sports or competition. But to you is music, and a music that most people your age don't fall in love with unless they are influenced heavily by someone yeah. saying you must fall in love with it, which is really freaking cool. Like, you have the power to like change music back in that direction.
Trying to.
Yeah, because... You know, you're not trying to be them, mm-hmm. but you also respect what they were able to do and to be young and just like a kid. Are you ever a kid? Do you ever feel like a kid?
Oh, yeah. I'm still a teenager, so.
You can separate.
can't escape that.
19 years old playing the shows. I saw you playing with Lainey.
Yeah.
On the CBS, mm-hmm. the New Year's show.
Yeah.
Make you nervous to play national TV live, or is that just what you're meant to do?
That specific show.
They recorded. I used to host it too. They recorded a lot of ours. Did they record yours ahead of time, or did you do that one?
No, it was live.
Oh my God.
And it was in front of 215,000 people.
That's crazy.
Which is the biggest crowd I've ever played for. And the entire time, I was like waiting for myself to get nervous because I usually do in front of that many people. And I never did. I don't know why. I just,
well, good I for you, Graham. Yeah. I never got nervous. Why hodgepodge?
Because people used to book me and I didn't have a band. So I still had to put a show together. So I would just like ask a bunch of, local musicians that I knew of to like basically be a band for one show. And then that was it. So it was literally a hodgepodge, so that's what I called it. And then eventually I found like people that it worked with and that like are an actual band now. But I like the name, so I didn't change it.
And you can just trade them out too, who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah, they get a little mouthy. Out you go. Hodgepodge, everybody gets replaced. When you look at videos of your favorite guitar players or guitar players that you just kind of like, but you see stylistically mm-hmm. what they do is so different and distinct. And you're like, wow, that is example. Maybe I can example it better than I can ask it. But Eddie Van Halen plays yeah. in a way that nobody else plays, right? You know his tone. You know his style. Even Brad Paisley, you know, when he's finger, it's just different. Oh, yeah. You can tell yeah. it's Brad. With John Mayer, you can, you know, I'm such a fan. Who was it to you that you saw and you were like, wow, that is so distinct and original in how they play the guitar.
I haven't seen him live, but definitely Derek Trucks. Like, he was like the first like slide guitar player I'd ever heard of. And I was watching a video of him when he was like 13 opening for the Allman Brothers and took the most beautiful solo I've ever heard. And it just blew me away.
I saw Tedeschi Trucks play and, you know, them to, and it was, maybe I don't know that I underestimated how good of a guitar player he was, but
oh, it's unreal.
It's unreal. I watched Johnny Lang play when he was young, mm-hmm. Before he cut his hair, you know, and that was cool because he was a young, long-haired kid blues player.
Yeah,
and that was super cool because he was doing a bit of, you know, he wasn't trying to put on anything other than what he was. Mm-hmm. It was just cool that he was a kid, and that's what he was drawn to. Do you meet any other? No, I won't say Reddit because. But do you meet any other like young blues influenced or, you know, rhythm and blues guitar influenced young generation people that sometimes you guys just get together and play?
Yeah, I mean, not.
I gotta imagine you're the young. I gotta imagine you're the youngest everywhere you go and you play.
No, but I usually am. But I haven't really met a lot of kids my age or younger like playing the music that I do. But there's definitely a lot of them online, and they're just killing it.
I would assume you're influencing a bunch of kids to learn to play.
I hope so.
And you get videos going, hey, look, I'm...
I do, actually. Sometimes, like, someone's parents will message me, like, I just got my daughter a guitar because of you.
That's cool.
And it makes my whole day when I get messages like that.
Who do you want to meet that you haven't?
Slash.
Still haven't met him yet?
I have not met him yet.
Yeah, that would be cool. I met Lenny Kravitz. You met Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. How long ago did you meet him?
A couple weeks ago, maybe a month now.
Were you a Lenny Kravitz fan before you met him?
He was one of the first concerts I ever went to.
Really?
And then we've been following each other on Instagram for years now. And he recognized me like right away.
That's cool.
It was awesome.
Isn't he like the chillest dude?
He was so nice. Yeah.
He was so nice to me too. And he just didn't have to be. You know, it wasn't a place where the guy had to put any effort into being kind. But he was like so chill. And he's had different seasons sonically.
Yeah.
You know, from when he started, and it was like, you know, Are You Gonna Go My Way, which is that opening guitar, like, down, 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 like really one of the most famous opening guitar licks of like from my life, and to the stuff like It Ain't Over Till It's Over, and then he comes back and he does American Woman. He's been able to kind of make his thing. He's changed it, but he's always been distinct, and it's always been him. And then that's like an artist that I think is super cool to to look up to, because I never felt like he was compromising.
Yeah.
And I think that's really big for an artist who's made, he probably could have just kept doing the same thing and been successful, but he's been able to change, you know, over time. Do you feel yourself at times modifying because you're getting a little more mature? You're like, oh, let me try some new sound here.
Oh yeah, definitely. Every day I feel like, especially since like I said earlier, like I still have so much practicing and learning to do. Like I'm always, figuring out new stuff and my sound's changing.
How many pedals do you play if it's a full show? How many pedals down below you?
I think 4 or 5 right now. I like to keep it more stripped back, but because before that I was like no pedals at all, straight into the amp. And when you're sitting in with people and you don't know what amp they're going to have on stage, that's not a good idea. So it doesn't always work out. So I got a pedal board that originally just had 3 pedals on it, and it keeps growing because I keep buying more and it's becoming a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to keep it at 5 for now.
Well, what you do is really cool. And that's a super vague way of just, it's just really cool. Like who you are, your style, why you learned it. Because why did you learn it? I have no idea. Again, you didn't grow up in a house with a music museum in it. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
And so I'm super pumped that you came over and I got to meet you. And you know, like whenever you post a new video and you're playing guitar, and my wife knows when I'm watching a guitar video of you, because she's like, "Are you watching Grace play guitar?" Yeah. I don't even know you. And she's like, "You what?" I'm like, "Yeah." So like, I am. And this is a town of giants where there's a lot of great people, and there's a lot of great guitar players. John is a friend of mine. Charlie Warsham's a really great guitar player. Urban, good friend of mine. But in the land of giants, like you still have found your way to be really tall at only 19 years old.
17.
17, that's right. Yeah. Oh my, I'm making you older as we sit here. That's great. Do you drive like a rock and roll? Do you like drive like a 68 Barracuda or anything like that?
Oh, I wish. I do have a really cool Jeep out front though.
Oh, that's cool.
It's not vintage or anything.
That's a little too trendy and new. We need to fix that. We need to get around like a beater, Mike. I'm not sure what your deal is. But I do a big show at the Ryman once a year for St. Jude, which is the hospital. Yeah. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid, and so we work with them directly. We've been able to raise like $27 million or something for the kids there. And Keith's played it before. John, him and TJ have played it before. If you're in town April 3rd, it's already sold out. But you've played the Ryman? You played the Ryman?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. You should come and play a song or two with us.
Oh, I would love to.
It can be, I don't know if you're, don't commit now because you could just say yes and I was on with the idiot. I had to say something. No, I don't want that to be what it is.
No.
But April 3rd, we're playing. And this year it's like Sam Hunt. It's Ben Rector, Matt Carney. It's a lot of people. I'll miss people. But I would love for you to come.
Yeah, I would love that.
And my band's all session players. Like, I'm so bad, I have to get all session players, great session players to make up for the fact. And so you can tell us what you want to play. Usually people come out, and if you want to do an original song of yours, great, we'll learn it. Usually people do an original song, or they do a cover. You can do whatever you want. You just let us know. I would love for you to come because I'm such a big fan, and it'd be really cool for me to have you out there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So you're not committing now. Mom, she's not committing now. Look at the calendar, April 3rd.
Are we in town?
It's like a Wednesday. That's why we do it. It's a Wednesday, Morgan?
Yes.
We do it midweek because I'm on the road a lot, and every artist is on the road. That's when you pay the bills.
Yeah.
Have you already started thinking about moving out?
Well, if I was making enough money to do so, I would be, but...
Well, like when I was 17, I was ready to go.
I still
had school to finish, though. School? You can teach school at this point, you know? Are you a junior or senior?
Junior.
Officially. Okay. Yeah. So this year, then next year. But the open road, that's school, you know?
I mean.
Homeschooled, we're lucky if she does an hour.
That sounds like an hour too much. I get her on the, hey, let's just make some music, you know? Give the earth what they demand. Let me know when in the next few days. I'd love for you to come play the show with us. And I'm a big fan. It's awesome. You're awesome.
Thank you. Stay, I appreciate it.
And I have to tell you that because, like, I'm cooler because I'm doing this interview. And Mom, thank you for coming. Thanks for sitting in with the band for a few minutes too. Yeah, and letting us. So here's the thing about Grace. You can follow her Grace_Bowers on Instagram and on TikTok Grace_Bowers1. You couldn't get the name on TikTok without the one on it.
No.
Somebody has it.
Someone took Grace Bowers.
Okay. Do they use it or do they just? Somebody squatted my name and I wouldn't buy it from them, so it just sits
there. I don't
know.
I haven't checked yet, actually.
I'm about to leave it to me. Leave it to me. And then I know you recorded your album, the debut album with John, producing it. But when does that happen where anybody gets to hear anything?
Well, we're hoping to have the whole thing out sometime during the summer.
But what about like a song or something?
Yeah, and then we'll put out a single hopefully in April.
That's cool.
There'll be another single after that, which... we don't have a date for yet. But
do you know which one already?
Yeah, the first single is going to be a song called Tell Me Why You Do That that I actually co-wrote with John and Lucy.
Oh, Lucy's awesome too. Lucy's the greatest. You know what I'm going to say? It.
Awesome.
I like Lucy better than John. Lucy went on the road. I know them both. And Lucy went on the road with me for a while too. Lucy's awesome. Did she play keys when you wrote? Did she sit at the keys or she just
sit? She did, yeah, she did.
God. I like Lucy two times as much as John. Well, we're very excited. Let us know when it's out. We would love to promote it and just be a big part of it. And it's been great to meet you. Grace_Bowers, you guys follow her. And that's it. Grace, thanks.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Thanks for hopping in too. That was fun. Yeah, that was awesome.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.